Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We're here on a almost sunny afternoon in the Seattle area. It was looking gorgeous this morning. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Julie. Yeah, it was fantastic today.
It was a great morning to walk your dog.
It was. And a great afternoon and a great evening.
Yes. Actually, yes. I read somewhere that January is National Walk Your Dog Month or something.
Is it really? You'd think they would have picked a month with a little bit better weather. But
well, maybe they're doing it in January where a lot of people are like, oh, the weather's so bad.
I'm not going to walk them. Yeah. And then the reminder of it being National Walk Your Dog Month makes you get out there and get off your butt and bundle up and go do it.
Although some would argue every month really should be national.
It should be National Walk Your Dog Year every year, right?
Yeah, so important to get your dogs out for that walking exercise, walking or jogging, not just running around in the backyard, but getting them out for some pointed exercise can really help with behavioral issues and just general manageability and energy level in the house. So. But it's like spring out there, so it's pretty easy to get out during this kind of weather. We've got a guest calling in a little bit. We're going to start an interview during the second segment with Rick Hall, who is with a group called Save Washington Pets. And there is a bill, some legislation that's trying to get passed about basically taxing pet food at the distributor level to fund spay and neuter of companion pets for low-income pet owners.
It sounds like a good plan, or at least a good outcome, hopefully.
It's a good idea. I've definitely got some questions for Rick. You know, I think it was last week I was just talking about, in light of the financial struggles of the King County Animal Control and Animal Shelters, I remember saying during the show last week that as a dog owner, that I would be happy to contribute, you know, a little bit of money each year or whatever to help fund these programs that we really need to support the dogs that don't have homes or who get lost or, you know, so
animal shelters and that sort of thing. Yeah.
And so then I just heard about this bill yesterday and was able to line up Rick to come on air and talk about it and answer some more questions. So looking forward to that interview in a few minutes. I did see just a few things to talk about before we get into that. There is a commercial on TV that I just wanted to point out I don't think is a good idea. And they are advertising...
Well, there's a lot of commercials on TV that probably aren't a good idea.
Yes, good point. And this one's actually not about food, although I do have some ads about food that I'm going to talk about too. But this one's about a video chatting thing where it's like basically wireless everywhere. You get 4G wireless everywhere.
Right.
So it turns the whole world into a wireless hotspot. And one of their things that they said...
So far so good, right?
Yeah, right. Well, one of their things that they suggested people do is video chat at the dog park.
No.
Not a good idea.
No.
Time with our dogs, especially at a dog park, is not the time to multitask.
Yeah.
Because, you know, someone's video chatting with whoever on the other side of the country or, you know, while the dog's running around getting into who knows what with who knows, you know.
Dogs need supervision.
They really do. And, you know, the dog park situation is just, you know, it's a kind of a hot topic now. And there's been incidences at dog parks in the Seattle area where dogs have been, you know, hurt or even killed at dog parks, and there's dogs that really shouldn't be there that are there, and poor judgment, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, the dog park is probably the last place you want to be video chatting. It's like them saying, you know, video chat while you drive or something.
Right, right.
Not a good idea.
No.
So
I'm sure there's people already planning to do the video chat.
Oh,
while
man.
They drive,
if I saw, yeah. I think if anyone gets caught video chatting at the dog park, they should get a ticket or something, or a warning anyway. But I heard that on TV and I was just like, I see what you're getting at, but that's not a good idea.
Right.
So I'm sure their intentions were we're good. But so I read in the newspaper that there was a dog in Magnolia that had an encounter with a coyote a couple weeks ago, I think. And it's an interesting article. It was in the Seattle Times Wednesday, January 13th. And there was this little pug chihuahua mix, I think, and she was waiting for her kids to get off of the school bus and normally runs into the house from the bus stop or something like that, and spotted a coyote in a park across the street, and the little dog took off into the park and, like, basically got picked up by this coyote and shaken and all this kind of stuff. And there happened to be another reporter, actually, on the scene, which is weird, who, like, started throwing sticks at the coyote, and the coyote ended up dropping the dog. And this family had to take the dog to a few different vet clinics to get it treated, and then couldn't afford the treatment, and so had to sign the dog over. And then a couple people that heard about the story actually paid for the vet bill for the family, which I thought was really, really nice. And so they get to get the dog back, and it was just, you know, the coyotes, you kind of hearing, you know, with Paris Hilton's dog that got carried off by a coyote. And
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, that happened a few months ago now, several months ago.
Well, if you are a pug chihuahua mix, chances are good you don't want to pick a fight with a coyote.
Yeah, but, you know, tell that to the pug chihuahua mix. The pug chihuahua was, you know, and that'll happen, like, with terriers too.
Pug,
you know,
wawa.
Yeah. Little dogs that are just feisty, you know, size doesn't matter.
Or maybe they're a chug.
Chug? That's good. I like that. Like a puggle.
A puggle, right.
So, you know, and also, too, just to be as, especially with a little dog, because coyotes usually weigh about 30 to 40 pounds. So they're not huge, but they're big enough, and they're wild. And especially with little dogs, you just have to be so careful. If you live near a park, especially, and there's parks everywhere in Seattle, you know, we saw a coyote. We live near a little park next to a school, and we saw a coyote in our front yard one night. This was a few months ago. We just pulled up to the house at night, and there was a coyote in the side yard who ran away when we pulled up. So, I don't know. It's just, you got to be careful. And I have a little dachshund, especially with the little dogs. Just keep them close. Keep your eye out, especially in the nighttime. So, I don't know. That was interesting. That was in the Seattle Times. The AKC, I've got to really tip my hat to the American Kennel Club, because they have a Canine Partners program, and they've recently opened up mixed breed dogs to be eligible for competition, like agility competition, rally, obedience, those types of things. And I think that it's a great message that the AKC is sending, sort of supporting mixed breeds, and just such a wonderful thing for them to extend the ability to compete in those types of things on a higher level of competition to mixed breeds, and not limit that to purebred dogs. I mean, I certainly appreciate purebred dogs, and you know, I there's all sorts of different types of breeds that I really enjoy and appreciate, and I also think mixed breeds are wonderful, and that they really shouldn't be excluded from activities that are especially so enjoyable for pets and owners to participate in together. So I just think that's awesome that they've extended that to mixed breed competitors, and you know, for the AKC, which is such a huge organization and sort of the authority on those types of things. It's just a really, I think, a really powerful message, and I just think that's awesome that they do that. And also, for more information, you can visit www.akc.org and look for the information about the Canine Partners Program. And also, another announcement, I found that you can get your pit bull spayed/neutered for free. The Seattle Humane Society is providing free spay and neuter surgeries to pit bulls and pit bull mixes throughout King County. And the dogs will also receive free vaccinations, and microchips will be available for $5. According to the Humane Society, spaying and neutering actually improves a pet's health. The surgery eliminates reproductive cancers in the females and prostate cancer in the males. It also makes them less likely to roam and get into fights. So if you have an unaltered pit bull or know someone who does, you can call the Seattle Humane Society today to make an appointment. Their number is 425-649-7560. And you can go to Seattle Humane, their website, which I think is seattlehumane.org. But if you just Google Seattle Humane Society, it'll take you to their website. And you can find out more information about that. And that is seattlehumane.org. And that is a excellent service that they're offering as well for owners of pit bulls and pit bull mixes, free spay and neuter. So that's going on. I don't know how long that's going on for, but you can ask Seattle Humane about that. And we are, like I said, we're going to be talking shortly with Rick Hall, who is with SaveWashingtonPets.org is the website. And there's a bill that is trying to get passed in the 2010 legislative session that is going to provide spay and neuter to low-income pet owners statewide. And the idea is to reduce the killing of homeless cats and dogs through an effective targeted statewide spay-neuter surgery network of vets, and also reduce tax dollars spent in the capture, holding, and ultimately euthanasia of a lot of these animals. And just to clarify, I've noticed a lot of people kind of get these two confused, spay and neuter.
Hmm.
Do you know the difference, Eric?
Well, one's for the male and one's for the female.
Yes.
And I believe female cats get neutered, right? No, they get spayed.
Yes.
Or female dogs and cats, they
spay.
Yeah, they spay. And then the boys are neutered.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
So people kind of get those confused or think they're the same thing or, you know. So it's just a sort of a...
two different surgeries accomplishing the same goal.
Same thing, yes. Yeah. So sterilization.
That's right. Well, an easy way to remember it is nudicles.
Nudicles, right.
Anybody remember nudicles?
Oh, I remember nudicles. Prosthetic testicles for dogs.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Excellent. That's a good one. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be interviewing Rick Hall with Save Washington Pets. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Your home is your castle, but the upkeep. There's always so much to do. You don't want your investment to look run down, but who has time for all the things that need to be done? Regular window washing, gutter and roof cleaning, house cleaning, routine pressure washing. And what about those dryer vents? Lint in dryer vents is a common source of house fires. Ouch! Wouldn't it be nice to have an experienced, established, and respected company take care of those routine tasks for you on a regular basis? Capital Cleaning Services, serving the Seattle area since 1973, is your perfect choice. With years of experience and top ratings on Angie's List, Puget Consumer Checkbook, and the Better Business Bureau, Capital Cleaning Services can reliably and safely help you with your routine home and maintenance tasks. You're in the clear with Capital Cleaning. So call today for a free quote and see how we can help you protect your investment and keep your home looking beautiful all year round. Call 206-782-2494. That's 206-782-2494 for Capital Cleaning Services.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Real people, real life, real radio. Really? Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we are back with Rick Hall, who is with Save Washington Pets. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Julie.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great to have you on today. So you are with Save Washington Pets, which is a group that's formed in support of a bill that is trying to get passed that basically would place a tax. It's a new law that would place a tax on pet food and use the money to provide funding for spay-neuter surgeries for pets of low-income dog and cat owners.
That's correct. And what the way it would work is that the bill would place a fee, which is equivalent to about 3 cents a pound, on pet food that's distributed in Washington State. So it's actually at the distributor level, and it's on top of an existing fee. So there's no structure needed to establish this.
Mm-hmm.
We would expect that the fee would be passed on down to the retailers, and they would pass that along to pet food purchasers.
Mm-hmm.
The impact of that would be probably for a person that owns a dog and a cat about $1 a month, we think.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's pretty reasonable. The impact of this can be very significant if the bill were to pass. We would expect to perform at least 70,000 additional spay-neuter surgeries per year on cats and dogs, and as you mentioned, primarily on those that are owned by low-income people, but it would also cover feral and free-roaming cats, which are kind of loosely owned by people in communities at best.
Now, is that 70,000 additional or total?
That would be additional surgeries per year that would be covered by this bill.
Mm-hmm. And do you know
what's being done now?
Do you know how many are done a year now? And this is in Washington State we're talking about, correct?
I don't really know because we don't collect data from private veterinarians. That's really hard to get that kind of information. So we don't have the total number of surgeries.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a lot to me, 70,000 per year of additional spay-neuter surgeries. I mean, if you think of an average litter conservatively could, you know, maybe be five puppies conservatively.
Yeah.
You know, you're basically multiply that times five, and it's, what, 350,000 more animals that were potentially preventing from being in the system, so to speak, or in the communities.
That's right. And the tragedy of this is, and that's what's going on in our state right now, is that unfortunately there are too many cats and dogs going to shelters each year that won't find homes, won't be placed, and to make room for the next animals that are to come in, these that come in are often euthanized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real humanitarian issue we're facing in our state, losing tens of thousands of animals to euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, or in conjunction with that, it's also costing a lot of money to handle animals through animal control and sheltering. And ultimately, a lot of those animals may never have an opportunity to be adopted. So that's costing us millions of dollars at the local level for animal control and sheltering when we're just dealing with too many.
And the animal control and you know, county shelters, I think are in danger of being shut down due to lack of funding. At least that's what I've heard in the air as far as the King County Animal Shelter or the one in Kent, that they were maybe going to have to close it because of lack of funding. And it was like, oh my gosh, I mean, I can't imagine not having animal control in animal shelters. And I know that they are overwhelmed as it is.
Well, they certainly are. And the whole idea of this, aside from that humanitarian issue, is to try to reduce the burden and the flood of animals and animal control complaints that come in, so that the workload is less and the flow of animals into shelters is more balanced with what the demand is for cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm. And then ultimately less animals being euthanized every year because they don't have a place to go.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a question. When you say pet food on the distribution level, now, is that going to affect all pet food companies or only certain pet food companies?
It should affect all pet food that's distributed within Washington State. So, but when we talk pet food, we're talking cat and dog food, not food for fish, birds, rodents, that kind of thing.
Okay.
That's actually has a different term. It's called specialty pet food.
Okay.
So this is on pet food distributed within Washington.
And that doesn't distinguish between, you know, that's going to hit the pet food that's at the grocery store as well as the pet food that's at, you know, a smaller natural pet food store?
It should, if it's sold as pet food that's distributed in our state. It would also affect pet food that's sold through veterinary clinics as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you know, veterinarians sell prescription brands to their clients.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about this fee, from an administrative standpoint, is that it isn't down at the retail level where it's collected and administered. That would be very burdensome.
Yeah.
So what the fee does is piggyback on an existing pet food inspection fee that's already being paid now by distributors of pet food,
mm-hmm.
along with their 6-month reports of what kind of quantities of pet food they're distributing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not creating a new administrative structure. It just goes on top of the existing one that they report and turn in inspection fees to the State Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm. And I was listening, how I found out about this was I was listening to an interview with you yesterday that was on the radio, and there was also some input from Brenda Barnett, who's the executive director of the Seattle Humane Society. And one of the things that she said was that she says that it penalizes good and responsible pet owners who buy premium or good quality pet food. And so that's why I was wondering if it only hits the pet foods that are distributed through certain distributors, and that the pet foods that go to grocery stores, which are the lower level of quality pet foods, that they somehow get away with not being... not having their prices increased as well.
Right. Now, the way it would work, there would be no exceptions for such grocers. Every retailer that's selling pet food would most likely be passing along the fee, and they would receive it. So there aren't exceptions for particular types of retail entities.
Okay. So, you know, I was just talking last week about how I felt, you know, with the news that the King County animal control and animal shelters were really in danger, and that there was a very serious funding issue, and they were considering closing the shelters, and now it seems like they're looking at other alternatives. But I was saying, you know, as a dog owner and dog lover, that I feel that the state of affairs is my responsibility. You know, it's sort of a responsibility of human beings to try to do what we can to take care of these animals that are in this state of affairs as a result of our actions and behaviors. So, you know, I was all for paying money. I hadn't thought about where that might come from or how that would look, but I would certainly be willing to pay, you know, a small amount of money on a regular basis to support these types of programs to ultimately reduce the number of pets that are euthanized every year. So I think it's a great idea, I mean, to, you know, just put some sort of fee somewhere, you know, so that it would fund these types of programs.
Well, yeah, I think you're right on. In fact, one of the things that our group and many of the shelters and people that just care about animals have done in the last few weeks is circulate petitions. They're informal petitions, but they say right on there, would you be willing to spend a few cents more per pound to help reduce the euthanasia and add additional spay-neuter surgeries in our state through this bill? And we have quickly received support from between 1,000 and 2,000 people on these forms already. And so our sense is that people that own pets, in particular, are happy to do their part to help resolve this crisis. In the long run, I think it's going to pay off financially, too, for everybody, whether they own a pet or not.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in the state of New Hampshire, in its first few years of implementing a statewide program, and there are several other statewide programs for spay-neuter, the state of New Hampshire found that they were saving more money by avoided sheltering and animal impoundment costs than it was costing to run their spay-neuter program. So it was looking like a real positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what we would experience here in Washington. Over the long run, the reduction in the animals that we see being handled is going to save us more money than spay-neuter costs. In fact, one of the things that we did, just working with Pierce County and Tacoma at that shelter, is look into what it costs to spay-neuter an animal versus what it would cost to handle it through animal control in Pierce County and Tacoma, and then take it to the shelter where ultimately it may not be put up for adoption and may be euthanized.
Yeah.
That cost for animal control ran from about $150 to $200, and then you can add about another $100 on for the shelter just to handle,
mm-hmm,
intake that animal. So you're looking at $250 to $300 to handle a stray animal that may have been picked up and have to go to the shelter. Whereas on average, the cost of a spay-neuter surgery, and this is based upon looking at it statewide, at private clinics, too, is probably about half that, or around $159.
Mm-hmm.
So the effort, if anything, that we put into this would be better off in performing spay-neuter surgeries and directing our resources there rather than tackling the problem way at the end where we're not really solving the problem.
Yeah. Well, it definitely sounds like a proactive approach, which definitely sounds good to me. I'm looking on the website, which is savewashingtonpets.org, and you mentioned that New Hampshire had a state program that started in 1994, and that resulted in a 75% decrease in euthanasia, which is huge, and a 34% decrease in shelter admissions during its first few years. Now, is that a similar program?
It's a similar program in many ways, and as you mentioned, it was established long ago. There are actually about 8 other states that have statewide spay-neuter programs,
mm-hmm,
and they're run in similar ways. The funding sources are different in some cases, but generally they're focusing on trying to help low-income pet owners have a chance to get their pets altered for a reasonably low price, so that barrier of cost for spay-neuter is broken down, and that they really have an incentive to do what they want to do anyway, and that's get the animal fixed.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, we're going to take a break, and we will be back in just a few minutes. If any listeners would like to call in and ask Rick a question, you're welcome to do so. We'd love to talk to you. The number to call is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569, 888-298-5569. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Rick Hall and Save Washington Pets. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Does work feel like a puzzle and you don't know where all the pieces are, or you have all the pieces, but you don't know what the picture should look like? Then join me, Denise Rubin, 30-year vet in human resources. I've sat in the boardroom and in the executive offices, and I'll share with you the trials and tribulations of the workplace and how together we can solve the workplace puzzle one piece at a time. Tune in to Work Does Matter, Fridays from 1 to 2 in the afternoon on Alternative Talk 1150. Visit my website at workdoesmatter.com.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We're back with Rick Hall, talking about the group called Save Washington Pets, which was formed around a companion animal spay-neuter assistance bill in the Washington legislature. Welcome back, Rick.
Thank you.
If any listeners have any questions for Rick, feel free to give us a call. The number is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527. Or you can call toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569, 888-298-5569. So I think, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine about this bill, and, you know, one thing that she brought up was, you know, I don't have children, but I have to pay taxes to support schools and parks and playgrounds and all that kind of thing, so one of the things about the funding for this coming from only pet owners rather than the entire general public. And I was wondering, you know, what other options when the bill was being written, when all of the ideas were on the table, you know, what other ideas had you thought of?
Well, we looked a little bit at something that would affect pet products. That also would apply to pet owners, but it looked like it would happen at the retail level and be too politically difficult and cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we did is look at how other state programs that support spay-neuter fund them. A common way that's done in East Coast states that are running programs like New Hampshire and New Jersey is that they try to fund it by putting a surcharge on dog licenses. Now, we didn't really see that as an appealing funding source because compliance with licensing is variable and actually sometimes low in many communities.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that are licensing their dogs would be paying it, but the people that don't bother to license their cats would not either.
Mm-hmm.
And licensing requirements are really variable in Washington. Not every community requires them for cats and dogs. So it didn't appear to be a very good or adequate funding source. There have been other attempts at doing this through funding of, say, rabies vaccination surcharges. But again, we wanted to try to make it a more broad-based fee that would be fair and not necessarily tackle people that are just taking their animals into the veterinary clinic, but to capture the wider population base of pet owners. And again, as you said, make it more of a solution that's handled by pet owners rather than the public at large.
Mm-hmm. So you said, I think it came out to 3 cents per pound would be the fee that would be paid at the distribution level. And the average impact, assuming, you know, somebody owns one cat and one dog, would be about $1 a month or less?
We think that's about what it would be based upon that fee rate. At the distributor level, the fee that they would pay is actually a tonnage fee, and that's $57.50 per ton, $57.50 per ton, which is equivalent to a little less than 3 cents a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So if they pass that on to the retailer and that got passed on, that would be the impact that you might expect to see
mm-hmm.
in purchasing.
And you said that taxpayers already have to pay millions of dollars to impound and shelter and ultimately euthanize animals that don't find homes. Where does that money come from? Where is that being taxed already?
Well, any local government that's paying to staff animal control services, whether at the county or city level, will be paying to have their staff go out, spend time, handle complaints regarding animals and pick up stray animals, and then they may take them to the shelter, where, again, there's another cost that's passed along to the community in the form of the sheltering cost.
Mm-hmm.
Other costs are incurred every day in nonprofit organizations that are handling, because they want to save animals and find them homes. They're spending their resources, which are donated dollars and lots of time,
mm-hmm.
to handle stray and unwanted animals, but doing their best to find them homes to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a whole community-wide issue from the standpoint of expenditures.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, we have a caller on line one who has a comment. We have Linda in Seattle on line one. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I don't really have a question, but I just wanted to send my support and my admiration for this kind of movement and concern and progress towards preventive measures versus responding to the overpopulation. And it just feels like such a good, grounded way to help dogs live a better life on the other end, where they have been abandoned or don't have families. And I just really strongly support this kind of legislation, and I hope that it's successful.
Well, thank you, Linda. I appreciate that comment, and so do the supporters of this bill. There really are a lot of folks like you out there. We have supporting this legislation over 70 local animal welfare organizations such as humane societies and rescue groups, and hundreds of people that have contacted us that say, we really want this to pass. So there's a lot of support out there from people who really do care a lot about animals and saving their lives.
Yes, it seems like a very process that carries a lot of wisdom, and taking a step back and looking at the broader picture. And being more proactive, it just seems like a very smart way to approach this problem.
Well,
thank you so much for taking the time to try to get this to fruition.
Well, you're certainly welcome, Linda.
All right, thanks for your call, Linda. All right, yeah, I think that I know it's definitely on the hearts and minds of a lot of dog owners is the whole idea of shelters and overpopulation. And, you know, we've had a few guests talking, and I've talked quite a bit about the whole puppy mill situation, and that we have, you know, tens of thousands of dogs that are getting dogs and cats that are getting euthanized. And yet we have, you know, factory farms basically churning out puppies with health issues and genetic issues and behavioral issues and all that kind of stuff, in addition to the animal welfare concerns. So it's sort of, you know, at least addressing this, you know, this aspect of it. I still think that the puppy mill issue needs more attention, but it's a process.
That's right. You know, one thing I was thinking about, I should mention about this bill, is that if funds are available after providing spay-neuter surgery options for low-income folks, the bill would also fund spay-neuter surgery for animals that are in the possession of humane societies and animal rescue groups and other animal care and control agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that if there's a challenge financially for these organizations to have those animals spayed and neutered before they're put out for adoption, this bill could help them.
Yeah.
And with respect to the puppy mill, if those unfortunate situations require a raid and the taking of many, many dogs, there's another example of where this bill may come into effect to actually be available to help spay and neuter those large number of animals if that's required before they're placed in homes. So there's some benefits and tie-ins to the animal rescue community.
Well, and I think the idea, too, of, you know, lessening the population that animal control and shelter staff and employees have to deal with on a, you know, on a daily basis, you know, that the numbers that just come in through the doors, you know, every week. If this, once a bill like this is put in place, you know, hopefully we see a significant decrease in the amount of animals that are just sort of, you know, passing through the system, which would hopefully then free up, you know, animal control officers, especially, who are the ones that we need to go in and raid the puppy mills. And I know that's an issue when we've talked about that is, you know, it's one thing to pass the law, and then it's another thing to have the resources to enforce it. So
that's right. Yeah, I think, and resources are becoming shorter in supply with the current budget situation, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make it more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was going to mention as well about this, Julie, is that a critical part of this right now is of course, getting it through the legislature, if we can, this session. And that's where everyone who cares about companion animals can step in and let their voice be heard, because the animals certainly can't speak up on their own behalf. And we've been encouraging people through the SaveWashingtonPets.org website to contact their legislators and encourage them to support this bill and encourage them to help the bill pass through the policy committees where they now reside. The bill numbers for the spay-neuter bill are Senate Bill 5329 and House Bill 1406. The one bill's in the Senate, one's in the House. They're identical, but they each have an opportunity that way to go through one House and then carry over into the other for passage.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the bills are both in the Agriculture Committee, so they're in the Senate Agriculture Committee and the House Agriculture Committee. And what we're encouraging people to do is, if they support this bill, please contact their legislator and ask that they encourage Senator Hatfield, who's the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, and contact Representative Blake, who's the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, and please ask them to please urge that they pass the bill through committee, so the bill has an opportunity ultimately to have a chance and be voted on by the full House and Senate.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And for more information about that, you can visit SaveWashingtonPets.org. Rick, we're going to take another break. I do have a couple more questions for you that came up at the end of your interview that I heard that you didn't have really any time to answer. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com. Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're back with Rick Hall with Save Washington Pets. And the website is savewashingtonpets.org. And this is a group that was formed around a spay-neuter assistance bill, legislation. There's two bills, a state bill, or Senate bill and a House bill. And for all the information on that, is savewashingtonpets.org. There's flyers and, you know, you can look at the bill in more detail and check that out. And just lots of resources about that, how to spread the word and how to support this type of thing. And Rick, in the interview that I heard with you yesterday, there were a couple of questions and there wasn't really much time left for you to answer the questions. And one of the things is that they had some, I think, recorded interview with Brenda Barnett, who's the executive director of Seattle Humane and Society, and she had some concerns and sort of disagreements about the bill, and then this didn't really give you an opportunity to kind of answer that. But one of the things was that she... it was really questioning whether the issue is that there aren't enough homes. And I think she said that she didn't agree that there aren't enough homes, that what we need to do is convert people who want to add companion animals into their homes into people who get those animals from shelters. So what is, do you have a sense for the numbers as far as, you know, people who acquire a companion animal into their home, number of people who acquire an animal versus the number of animals who need homes?
Well, what we know is that everything that shelters deal with every day, and this is supported by organizations that support this bill, is that there really isn't any sense that we can solve this problem by adopting our way out of it. In fact, in this kind of economy, it can be hard enough to even keep an animal when you lose your job and you're facing some hard times. One of the things that the largest shelter in the state, which is the Humane Society for Tacoma and Pierce County, provided to me, is that in the 60 years, I'll just give you a little statistic they gave me, in the 60 years that they've been looking for homes for animals, or they've tracked, the Tacoma Humane Society has consistently adopted about the same number of pets, between 6,000 and 9,000 a year. And they work, as other organizations do, to try to find homes, but it's just simply not possible to keep adding animals to homes because we just don't have the capacity to keep up with the population growth of companion animals.
Yeah.
So that's why spay-neuter is pretty much universally seen as the key to the solution to this problem.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other things was that there was a question as to whether or some took offense to that the problem is mostly with low-income pet owners, and that, you know, animals that are intact, typically, you know, the reason why they're not fixed is an issue of cost.
Well, yes, I appreciate the chance to address that because I didn't really have a chance to yesterday. What the bill says is that pets owned by low-income individuals are less likely to be altered than pets owned by individuals at higher income levels. And that's right in the introduction of the bill. And what that's there for is to explain that this is the reason why we need to help low-income people do what they think is right, and that's get their spay-neuter surgeries done at an affordable rate, which under this bill would be no more than $10 or $20 per animal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they may be facing, if they're paying fees in the private sector for surgeries, could be up to several hundred dollars for a spay surgery, for instance, on a large dog.
Mm-hmm.
So that cost barrier is broken down. What we do know is that survey research does show that that cost barrier that we talked about is really there, and that it is true that low-income households are more likely to own unaltered cats and dogs than the higher-income households.
Mm-hmm.
The American Pet Products Association National Pet Owners Survey showed in 2008, for instance, I'll just take dogs. On average, for households under $12,500 income, 54% of those households altered their dogs, whereas for the highest level income households, $60,000 or more per year, 86% of those households had their dogs altered. So we really see this as pretty clear that we need to help break down that barrier so that spay-neuter surgery gets done and that the results are favorable and that we reduce the population of unwanted animals.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a statistic about that it would was projected to decrease the number of or incidences of dog bites, since those typically happen with more often with unaltered animals than with fixed animals.
Well, that's correct too. One of the I can tell you that in the state of Illinois a few years ago, the driving force for that statewide spay-neuter bill was the fact that a nurse who had been jogging was killed by a couple of dogs that were unaltered.
Mm.
Well, fatalities really aren't very common, but what we do know is that unaltered dogs in the community are more likely to cause bite injuries than altered dogs. And there are studies from Oregon and some national studies that point that out. And we even have some local data from the Central Washington area that suggests that we really are better off in helping people that want to alter their dogs to have an opportunity to do it at low cost, because that can prevent but could be dog bite injuries that are pain, that cause pain and suffering, that cause cost and liability.
Mm-hmm.
So this bill does not try to do it through mandatory spay-neuter. The whole approach of the bill is to provide financial incentives to break down that cost barrier so that people will take that opportunity and get their dogs and cats altered.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, thanks so much for being on the show today and talking with us about this bill. I think it's a great idea. I think that being proactive and preventative is definitely the way to go rather than putting the resources towards the other end of it, which seems to be too late for a lot of these dogs and cats. For more information on this bill and on the group, you can visit SaveWashingtonPets.org. And if you missed any part of this show, it will be archived on the website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. All of our shows are archived on that site. So you just click on the podcast page, scroll down to the show you'd like to listen to, click on the play button, and it'll start to play for you. Again, that's www.dogtalkshow.com. Well, Rick, good luck with getting this passed, and hopefully we'll get lots of support from the community and letters written, and we'll see the positive impacts on the other side.
Julie, thanks very much for letting us get the word out today.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.